That's the main goal. That's the main purpose of the class. First, I want you to, whether on the front or back or anything, just write down the first three things when you think of the cross. First three things. There's one word, maybe one or two words, okay? And you're not going to have to pass them in or anything like that. So just the first three things you think of when you think of the cross. First three things you think of when you think of the cross. All right, good. Yeah. Then I want you to think of...
Oh, Mark.
Okay, she's got you. Then I want you to write down the first three, the three things that are hardest about being a Christian to you. Like things you struggle with the most. The three things that you struggle with the most about being a Christian. It's personal, but I'm not really...
It's personal, I don't like it.
Which one is it?
No.
I already said that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We good? I want you now to write down three reasons that you love God. Dave, good question. Okay. Oh, you're waving.
What was the last one?
Three reasons you love God. Are we good? All right. If someone would just doesn't mind, just share one of the things that came to your mind when you thought of the cross, just real quick.
Salvation.
Salvation, humility. Okay. Someone else.
Pain.
Sacrifice. Pain.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Suffering.
Love.
Suffering. Love.
Grace.
Grace.
Redemption.
Redemption. Okay. Those are really good. Do you think about that every day? Are those things that you think about every day? Do those things come to your mind every day? I mean, every Sunday probably, you know, because we got to take the Lord's Supper, so we think of those things. What are the things that we need to think of every day? Let's look at the first verse of this song. Well, let's look at the whole song, and then we'll break it down verse by verse. When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count for loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What's that first verse saying? When it says, this person is writing this, and when we sing this, we're saying this personal to me. When we survey the cross on which Jesus died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. What does that mean?
Everything I'm proud of means nothing compared to the cross.
Can you think of a scripture that might go along with that, or someone that exemplified that?
Galatians 2:20.
Galatians 2:20, okay. We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Paul in Philippians.
Yeah.
He says, I count all things but dung.
Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to go from Philippians to Galatians to Philippians to Galatians. These verses. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. What is he saying right there? What did Paul have? He just listed a lot of those things, right? He got through listing what he was. He says he had a lot of reasons to be confident, right? Because why was he confident circumcised the eighth day, right, of the tribe of Israel? He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, blameless. Paul had a lot of reasons to be boastful, a lot of reasons to be proud, a lot of reasons to pat himself on the back. But what does he say right there in verse 9 that we read? Verse 8, I'm sorry. It was rubbish. It was garbage. It didn't mean anything. Throw it away. It doesn't mean anything. He doesn't even want it anymore, okay? It's trash. Why? Christ was crucified on the cross. Okay? That's a big deal, okay? I want you to think of, when I think of this, I think that there are a lot of elements, a lot of things that will come to mind when we think of the cross. First thing that I see right here is humility, okay? I see a lot of humility. And so when we survey the cross, first thing we need to do is check our pride at the door. It's rubbish. We have nothing to be proud of. We need to be humble in the sight of God because Christ was crucified on the cross. Paul did it. Christ was humble. We should be humble too, okay? What about verse 2? Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. That's kind of going along with the same thing right there with humility. Save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. That first part, the writer of the song says that he's not going to boast in anything. Save in the death. What is save in the death of Christ my God? Except in one thing, right? Except in one thing. We can boast in one thing, and what is that? The cross. Christ was nailed to the cross. Can someone think of a verse that exemplifies that?
Galatians 6:14.
Let's turn there. Galatians 6:14. Caleb, would you read verse 14 and 15?
But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation.
As you know, the book of Galatians is written to kind of, I guess, bring out the things of the old law that they didn't matter anymore, things like that, trying to bring two groups of people together. But right here, God forbid, or what does your translation say?
But may it never be.
May it never be that I should boast except in one thing, the cross. You don't have to raise your hand or anything, but did any of y'all write down pride on three things you struggle with most? That probably would have been one of mine. Even though I might not think I'm proud or anything, it's a struggle, though. It's a struggle. Because there are a lot of things that I really think that I'm pretty good at or something like that. And even if it's not that, even if it's just the way I live my life proud because I boast about a lot of things. I might not come across like I'm a proud person to some people, but when I really examine my life, I'm a lot more proud than I'm going to be. I have no reason to be proud. I need to be completely humble. I need to sacrifice everything because of the cross, right? Let's look at the third verse. This is when the writer here is really, really starting to, the third verse of the song, really starting to look at Christ. See from his head, his hands, and his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. I almost think of like that's talking about the blood that is flowing down from Jesus' body. It's sorrow, right? Because it's pain, suffering, but it's also love. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Did someone say pain earlier when they said they think of the cross? I think of pain too. But when I say the cross, I don't need to just see Jesus' pain, but I need to also see. I think you're seeing my pain, right? That should pain me to see that. And also, I should be sitting there thinking, he gave so much and went through so much pain. What do I go through? Let's turn back to Philippians. In his state of being in so much pain and agony, in Philippians 2, and in the state of being hung on a cross, it's not just suffering, it's not just sacrifice. Also a wondrous exaltation, right? Philippians 2. Someone read verse 8 and through 11.
He found the appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under you. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Well, what was the pinnacle of last season in football? What was the best moment of all in last season's football season? You know what I'm saying?
Auburn won the national championship.
And what did they do? They held up the national championship, didn't they? What is the pinnacle of Jesus? That was Auburn being exalted, right? That was their shining moment. What was Jesus' shining moment? When his body was lifted high in front of everyone there. But it wasn't, look at him, look how awesome he is. It was, look at this person, look at this worthless piece of trash, as he had nails driven through his hands and through his feet. And his blood was pouring down after they scourged him so much, and after they beat him so much and spat on him.
I have a great verse that just attaches this very well. Hebrews 12:2-3. Precisely, you know, the sorrow and love flowing mingled down, looking at the finish. Mm-hmm. It's exhorting us to finish. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then our suffering, verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin.
This puts it in perspective that he is the author and finisher of our faith, that he went through so much. That's what we have to look forward to, is basically what it comes down to. Not just, well, we're probably going to have to go through some pain and heartache, and we need to be ready. We should look forward to that day when we can say that we are like Christ. We should look forward to that day where we can completely say, I've given everything that I have, everything I am, just as Christ did, right? That doesn't make it easy, but was it easy for Christ? What did he do the night before he was betrayed? Or the night that he was betrayed, I'm sorry. Was he just praying? Like, we probably pray before we go to sleep and stuff. Just everything was okay. And
he was begging for the cup to be passed from him.
It was pain. It was anguish before he even went through the pain and anguish. Because he knew what was about to happen. I can visualize him just pouring his heart out to God, to his Father, crying probably. I mean, just begging. But you know what? He did it. We should thank God that he did, that he went through that. And we should thank God when we have to go through the same thing. And we know, because we are Christians. I think that sometimes it's very easy to not understand what's about to happen when we're about to become a Christian. And that's okay. We're young. We're not mature in the faith, things like that. We don't know everything that's about to happen. But we're in college now, guys. We need to be starting to understand the pain, the suffering that comes along with being a Christian. Okay. All right, the last verse. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. If I had everything in the world, anything I can grasp, anything I put my hands up, if I had it all, if I was in control of it all, it would still be meaningless. It would be an offering that was far too small. Because what was the offering that was, the only offering that was big enough? It was Christ. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I mean, that is one of the most powerful things we sing in the song, is that last part there. Love. Okay? Love so amazing, so divine, it's so awesome, but what does it do? It's not just love that's there. It doesn't just make us feel good inside. It demands something. It commands something. By necessity, we give our soul, we give our life, we give our all. We give everything we have. Why? What did Christ do? He did not give everything. Everything he had. Let's turn back to Galatians. To the verse that Josh referred to earlier. Galatians 2, right? Would you read that verse?
It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Right, Paul, I mean, I think we can go on for days about the example that Paul is to us, or should be to us, And we joke sometimes about it, but if we read the writings like Philippians, Galatians, things like what we read tonight, it's amazing. We just read a couple of verses, and yet we see what Christ meant to this man, you know? It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But this doesn't stop there, does it? It goes on to talk about, but you know what? I am living, right? I am alive, so the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ on the cross changes our lives, okay? It's just that simple. Love changes our lives. Look at those three things that is the hardest thing about being a Christian to you. You should look at those on your paper, and then I want you just to visualize the cross. How hard are those things now? I mean, I'm not just up here saying these things because, you know, I know it and I've done it, and those things aren't a problem for anyone. No, I do this daily. The things I struggle with, the things that I continue to mess up in, things like that, are the things that are deep down that I don't let anyone else see because it's humiliating, basically, for me to just open up everything about me, all my shortcomings, everything. Those things, those are easy to overcome when we hit the cross, right? Turn to 2 Corinthians real quick. Corinthians 11. I came across this verse this summer. I'd never realized this verse before for some reason, but I'm starting verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 11. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ. What does he say right there at the end of verse 3? What is that talking about? I need someone to explain this to me.
Simplicity is very basic. It's Christ being
crucified.
Showed our love, his love for us on the cross, the sacrifice that was made, so he wants us to live for him. It's very simple. He gave us that so we give our lives to him. And he betrayed. Even though we're still unworthy, what he asked of us, it's simple.
As hard as those things are that you wrote down or thought of in your mind, as hard as the things that you encounter every day, you might be in sin right now because there might be just some sin that is difficult for you. As hard as those things are, you get right down to it. Christianity is a simple thing, okay? What did Jesus tell Matthew? Do you remember what Jesus told Matthew when he came across him? Matthew, tax collector. He said two things. Follow me. I think he said the same thing to Philip and Nathaniel, right? He said, follow me, okay? Wait till the fisherman. He said, come follow me, right? And what does he say to us today? Isn't it just a plea to come follow me? Come be like me? It's that simple, guys. I mean, it's not that simple in the fact that in a way that it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to have any hardships or anything. No, when you get right down to it, we need to do that. I need to do this in my mind. I need to just realize it's that simple, okay? Just be Christian. Just follow Christ.
Right, it's simple, but it's not easy. You know, some people think Christianity should be easy. It's, doesn't matter what I do, you know, I'll always be saved as long as, you know, as I accept God. That's simple and easy because you don't have to do anything. It doesn't require anything of them. They have to have that faith. As even as the words of the song says, God doesn't want stuff, he wants you. So if you're not willing to give yourself, you are not going to be able, you are not going to give enough. He wants you. So that's what you have to give. It's not an easy thing to give because we being who we are, we know better, or we think that we can do it our way. I'll take some of this, not all of it.
Well, I mean, what's left if you say, demands my soul, my life, my all? I can't think of a single thing in the world. And that encompasses every single thing.
And the verse that you read in 2 Corinthians 11:3, that word simplicity is better translated single-minded devotion. And it's the idea of wholeheartedness. It's not that it's just is easy to understand. It's actually your whole focus. And the danger of the false teachers here is that they start dividing you. Mm-hmm. You no longer become full-hearted, single-minded. So very that word has got a depth to it.
Right. Yeah. I don't want anyone to be confused. And I'm saying, come on, it's not that hard. No, I'm saying when you get right down to the basics of it, it's just follow Christ. Okay. It's just live as Christ lived. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Okay. And we can have a lot of struggles. We can have a lot of things that we want to go and study through, and we're like, I can't figure this stuff out. Get to the basics, okay? Get right down to the basics. It's about following Christ. I want to get into, I guess, a couple of specifics of things that we might need to work on. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Because of the cross, because it demands our soul, our life, for all. I want to read 2 Corinthians 5, beginning of verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus. By the way, we just said that the love of Christ, you know, is so amazing, so divine. Here's a specific thing that the love compels us to do, demands of us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away, but all things have become new. Guys, we, myself included, we regard people of the flesh a little bit too much, okay? We look at people, and we judge them on our appearance. I do it way too much, and we got to stop. Because the love of Christ compels us to do so. It doesn't matter anything about what we see. It doesn't matter our preconceived ideas about a single person. We don't look at people according to the flesh anymore. Because once we realize what Christ did, once we are become Christians, our whole view of life has changed. The way we look at other people has changed. From now on, the way we look at people is no longer about the flesh. It's about their soul. And every single person has a soul. And that soul needs Jesus. And if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we got to have that mindset. We got to have that focus. And I need to do better, and we all need to do better. And that's just one thing. Another thing, going right along with what Brother Rouse talked about this morning, is dress. You know, I don't know if there's a whole lot I can really add to that. I thought he did a really good job. I will say just one thing. Think about this. This goes for guys and girls. Because of the love of Christ, because of God and who God is, guys, you have a responsibility. The verse that we read this morning where it talked about, it just kind of lets you know how guys are, right? That we can look at something and it sparks something in our mind, right? Okay, well guys, man up and start taking responsibility for the fact that you know that's how you are. So stop thinking like that. The best that you can. Don't look, do something. Change the things that you're doing, because I'm a guy, I understand those struggles. But man up and stop. Okay. It's not just that's how guys are. I mean, Brother Larry was not saying this. He wasn't saying that's how guys are, so, oh well. No, it's that's how we are. We need to understand. We understand that, right? So do something about it. And girls, just when you're getting dressed and when you're thinking about how you present yourself, and this goes for guys too, especially how you come off to other people, who are we supposed to be modest before? Before God, okay? Think about that. Don't. I mean, it's good to think about how you're affecting other people. Are you modest before God? I hope we answer yes every time we walk out the door. We got to work on that, okay, guys and girls. We really need to work on those things. Those are two areas. How we view people, our dress. We can go into a lot of other things, but just the last one is just sacrifice. The love of Christ. Christ crucified on the cross. We need to picture that in our minds, and we need to start sacrificing more. We need to give more of our time. We need to give more of our energy. And I know that sometimes at the end of the day, after you have classes and work probably, and you feel like you don't have anything to give, dig down deep. I mean, you got something else to give. I have a few challenges, and if there's any comments or anything like that, then we can go there, or any questions or anything. My first challenge And I want you to, if you don't mind writing this down, look at this later, okay? First challenge, because we are going to survey the cross. And I want us to survey the cross every day of our lives, okay? Every morning you wake up, any situation you come across throughout the day. First challenge is just to pray, okay? That's my challenge to myself and my challenge to you. Just pray. I think too often we try to tell people how to pray, okay? Just pray, all right? That's a challenge in itself. Pray. Whether it's when you get up in the morning and you pray, whether it's before you go to bed, whether you pray to spend an hour praying for people that are sick and struggling with things, that's great. Just pray to God, okay? But think about Christ on the cross. I hope that motivates us to pray. Second thing is to read. Raise your hands real quick after you write that down. Raise your hands if you think you know how to read the Bible and you can look at a verse and like really see the big picture. Raise your hands if you think you can do that. Not perfectly, but if you feel like you can do that. Honestly. I don't even know if I can do that all the time. But I can tell you, I've come across a lot of people up in Tennessee that they have no idea how to read the Bible. And it's not like that surprised me, but it was more like, this is an urgent need, okay? We got to know how to do this. This isn't a physics book where you just go and you say, okay, so it says this, all right, I got to remember that for the test, okay, I'm good to go. No, when we read the Bible, there are very, very important things we're reading. And we got to say, this is amazing. Look what God has said to me, okay? Look what God has written down, okay, for us to understand and apply to our lives. Just read. I don't care if it's a verse a day or a chapter a day, just read. Get comfortable with the Bible. Get comfortable with it so we can live our lives by it. The last thing is to sacrifice more, to give. When I say give, I do mean in the collection is one thing. I think a lot of times we're saying, I don't just mean that. I do mean that. And that's one way college students, I think we have any money, we got something. I mean, we've all probably been out to eat a lot lately, and I'm ashamed when I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't think I have enough money or anything. If we're going to say we're part of this work down here, we're contributing, well, let's contribute in more ways than just giving up our time and things like that. I think the church down here would see the fruits of that if we would give a little bit of what we have. But it is more than just giving the collection plate. It's giving of our whole lives, right? Because what does love do? The love of God demands it. I mean, I can't believe I'm about to bring this up, but y'all know that video of Gene Chizik? It's not kinda, sorta, or almost, right? It's not that. It doesn't just kinda make call us to action. It doesn't just sorta make us change our life. It doesn't just almost make us do better. No. It demands it, okay? It commands it. So what are we doing about it? That's my question. My question is, what am I doing because of the cross? Is it really changing how I live? I want you to ask yourself the same thing. And also, I want you to look at those three things that you said were your biggest struggles. I want you to conquer those, okay? Because God's there to help you, right? Because God's love is there still. I think that we can do that. I really do. I think this semester has started off great, and I think it can continue to get better. So I just look forward to that. So that was all. And let's sing the song real quick, and then after that, we'll get on with the singing. If you don't really know the melody or anything like that, then hopefully you can pick up about the second verse. But sorry, I didn't get the notes or anything.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain. Sends on all.
pray, and then we'll get on to singing. Our God and our Father, Lord, you're so amazing to us. You're so gracious. God, we believe that Jesus was your Son. We believe that he died on the cross because he had done anything wrong, not because he had any fault. But he died for us. He died for the world. Because man has sinned. Because we have sinned, Lord. God, there was nothing we could do. There's nothing we could obtain that would be an offering that would be match up with that sin, Lord. There's nothing we could do to earn salvation. There's nothing we can do to be acceptable in your sight. But Christ died for us. And God, thank you so much. Your love was displayed on the cross. And Lord, as we live our lives, I pray that our love for you will be displayed as we sacrifice all that we have, all that we attain, as we sacrifice all the things that might charm us, all the things that might get in our way, distract us, the things that we really, truly desire. If they're not in accordance with your will, Lord, they're garbage. They mean nothing to us anymore because we love you. And Lord, we understand that that's going to be difficult. We understand that there will be things, whether they're things that we really enjoy, school, occupations that we really enjoy, but we realize that those are things that we should not be involved in. Whether they're relationships we have with people, that we realize that there are certain things that we just cannot partake in. God, help us to be strong. Help us understand that it's simple. We just follow Christ, that we just look to the cross. We see the example that Jesus left for us, and that we would just give all that we have. We're so thankful for everything you've done for us. Thank you for letting us all be here in Auburn. And God, help us to strive to please you the best that we can. Help us reach out to others. If we believe that you are so gracious and merciful, we believe that Jesus died for everyone, help us to boldly take that to other people because we care for them, because they're not just people we go to class with or co-workers. They have a soul. We want to see that soul in heaven. Lord, that we are coming to this week, help us not be stressed. Help us to keep our head on and be focused on what's really important. Help us not to get distracted by the things that are going on, but we think about the cross. God, we want to go to heaven so bad. Help us to be ready at all times. Help us to be ready tonight. Help us to be ready tomorrow. So we live each day pleasing to you, redeeming the time. It's in Jesus' name we pray.